B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Erevin Daf Mem. Here we're going to start 9 lines from the top of the Omud. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Dalet Omud Beis that the first part of the Mishnah taught us that when somebody goes outside the Tchum with permission, then whenever he's finished his job, or when he finds out his job is no longer needed, then he gets 2,000 amos from where he stands at that point, even though when Shabbos came in, his residence was at home, and he had to leave because either he had to testify for the Kiddush HaChodesh, or a midwife, or somebody who was going to save lives. Then the Chachomim said that since you had permission to go out of the Tchum on Shabbos, then your residence moves with you, and wherever you are, when you finish doing what you have to do, at that point you get 2,000 amos around you. And the last line of the Mishnah, which we just read when we learnt the Mishnah and didn't really understand, the Mishnah said that if he goes out, kol ayotzim lehatzil, if he's going out to save lives, then choizrin lemekoimon, then you can go back to your place. And that's what the Gemara is going to discuss now. Says the Gemara, v'chol ayotzin lehatzil choizrin lemekoimon, anyone who leaves their place to rescue people, to save people's lives, they can go back to their places. Asks the Gemara, v'afilu tuva, it would seem from the term used in the Mishnah that yachzur lemekoimon, he can go back even if it's more than 2,000 amos, which means even if the 2,000 amos that from where you are now doesn't even reach the tchum of where you were when Shabbos came in, which means you're more than 4,000 amos away from your original home, you can still be chayzur lemekoimon, you can go back to your home. And this seems to contradict what we saw at the beginning of the Mishnah. V'ha'omras reisha, did you not say at the beginning of the Mishnah, alpayim amo v'suloi, that you can only travel, you can only walk 2,000 amos from the position that you are when you're no longer saving lives or no longer on your job, and you cannot go all the way back home? Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, shechoizrin b'klizayin l'mekoimon. It's true. What it says in the beginning of the Mishnah is accurate, that you cannot go beyond 2,000 amos. But we may have thought that a person's weapons, that he no longer has to carry them. He may be in Roshos HaRabim, he's no longer necessary to carry them. He's finished his job. He should leave them where they are, and he's not allowed to take it with him. So for that, the Mishnah says, no, that Yachziron Nimekoimon, wherever you're allowed to go, you can take your weapons with you. But you and your weapons can only go 2,000 amos from the point you are now, and not lachzur lemekoimon, meaning you can go back to where you were when Shabbos came in. That's what Rav Yehuda amar Rav said. Says the Gemara, umay kashya, you Rav Yehuda amar Rav, you said something which is a very big chiddush. You said that even though the Mishnah says yachzur lemekoimon, which would mean you can go back to where you came from, it doesn't mean that. It just means that you can take your weapons with you, but you cannot go more than 2,000 amos. That's not the way the Mishnah seems to say. And what did you base this on? You base this on a seeming contradiction in the Mishnah. That the beginning of the Mishnah speaks about somebody who's yotzer b'rishus, somebody who leaves with permission, only gets 2,000 amos. And the end of the Mishnah says that somebody who leaves to rescue people can be lachzur lemekoimon. The Gemara is now saying, if you reviewed a Marava based on that question, I don't understand the basis of the question. Umay kushya, what was the question? Dilma lehatzil shani. The ratio of the Mishnah, the first part of the Mishnah that says you only get 2,000 amos, is a very general statement for somebody who leaves with permission. That includes a midwife, that includes somebody who's going for Kiddush HaChodesh, and it doesn't have to include somebody who's going to rescue somebody else's life. And so maybe the ratio is talking about anyone who leaves with permission, and you only get 2,000 amos. However, if you're going to rescue people from enemies, which is the last line in the Mishnah, then maybe you can go all the way back to your homes. So what was the question at all? Dilma lehatzil shani. Elo'i kashya ho kashya. There's another question we can ask, and to answer that question, what Rabbi Yehuda amar Rav said is going to be the answer. What's the question? D'tnan, we learnt in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Barishoyna, originally, lo'yhoyu zozin misham kol hayom kuloi. The witnesses that came to Beis Din from outside the Tchum to testify, to witness that they saw the new moon, which is something which was allowed one was allowed to go outside the tchum for that, because it was important for Beis Din to be mekadosh the chodesh, to make a rosh chodesh based on this, on these witnesses. But once they got to wherever they were needed to give their witness, then they were not allowed to go beyond that point. They were not allowed to move from where they were beyond their four amos, because you came from outside the tchum. Afterwards, at a later stage, Hiskin Rabbi Gamliel Azokin Shieshlem Arpaim Amal Kol Ruach. Rabbi Gamliel Azokin said that we're not going to confine them to four amos, we're going to give them 2,000 amos around them. V'loy Eilu Bilvad Omru. And not only does this, what Rabbi Gamliel Hazokin said, apply to witnesses who are coming to give witness regarding the new moon, Ela Afilu Chachomo, even a midwife that is coming, Habol Yalid, who's coming to deliver a baby, V'habol Hatzil Minagayos, Uminanor, Uminamapoiles, Uminadeleiko, or anyone who's trying to rescue anyone's life, either from an army coming to attack, from a river that's flooding, from a building that's collapsed, or from a fire that is threatening people, harei hein ka'anshe ha'ir, then they have the same status as the people of that city, even though they've come way out of their original tchum. They've come to a new city, far away outside the tchum. But since you came here to save lives, then you don't only get 2,000 amis, you're like all the people in the town, that you get 2,000 amis beyond the city. V'yeshlem arpaim amalokol ruach, they have 2,000 amis in all directions. And not just four amis, even though they came from outside the tchum, they do not just have four amis, they have 2,000 amis, like the people in the city. Asks the Gemara of Asuloi, do they only get 2,000 amis around this place where they came to save their lives, and not more than that? Ha'omras, this seems to contradict our Mishnah. We saw in our Mishnah, Kol ha'yotzin lehatzil, choizun lemekoimon. Anybody who's going out to save somebody is allowed to go back to their places. So here we're now asking a contradiction from the last line of our Mishnah, not to the first part of our Mishnah, but to another Mishnah elsewhere that clearly says that if somebody is going to save people, you only get 2,000 amis. And in our Mishnah it says, if you're going to save somebody, yachzor lemekoimon. And here you can't answer that over there, that Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah is talking about when you're going out and you're not going to save people, you're just going out with permission, because it's explicit you're going to save people there. And this is where Rav Yehuda Amarav said what he said. Omar Rav Yehuda Amarav, shechoizun bikli zayin lemekoimon. That the truth is, like we said before, you can only go 2,000 amos and not more than that. This day says in our Mishnah, choizun lemekoimon, just means that you're allowed to take your weapons with you wherever you're allowed to go. The person himself is allowed to go 2,000 amis. He does not need to drop his weapons. Kedetanya, as we saw in the Braisa, Barishoino at first, Hoyumanichen Kleizainon Bebayis Asomuch Lochoimo. When they would come back from a mission to rescue people, typically from an army, from enemies, then they would use the first opportunity, the first home that they would find, the first home back in the city, in a walled city, they would leave all their weapons in that home. There was no need to carry them any further. Pam achas hikiru behem oivim. At one point, the enemies recognized that they had returned to the city, and maybe they recognized even that they had deposited their weapons in this home. Verotva harem. The enemies ran after them, and again they were threatened. V'nichnasu litel klei zainon. And then these soldiers, who had originally gone out to save people from these enemies, are again being threatened by the enemies, so they quickly went into this home to get their weapons again. And the enemy came in after them into this home. There was no space, there was a small home, and it was by far too small for all the soldiers and for the enemy that had come in. They ended up killing each other by trampling each other with more casualties than the enemies killed them. At that point, they decreed that since you went out to chase the enemy, you're allowed to keep your weapons with you, just in case that they come to chase you again, you'll have your weapons with you and be able to protect yourself. Continues the Gemara. Rav Nachman by Yitzchok Omar. Rav Nachman by Yitzchok says, Loikashio. we asked a contradiction between our Mishnah that says that if you're going to save somebody, you can go out, Yarzul Lemakoimon, you can come back to where you were. And the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says that you only get 2,000 amos. We asked a contradiction. Rav Yehuda Marav gave one answer, that you're not allowed to go more than 2,000 amos. And our Mishnah is just telling you that you can take your ammunition, your weapons with you. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok is giving another answer, a different explanation. Kan shenotzchu Yisroel es Uma Yisraelam, that the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah that says you only get 2,000 amos is talking about where the Jewish, the Yiddish soldiers, they actually... they defeated the enemies. The enemies were no longer a risk. And therefore, they were not allowed to have more than 2,000 amos. Kan, however, the Mishnah here that says, that seems to say, that you can even go back to your homes, is shenitzchu umo yisraelam es atzmon. And this is just an elegant way of saying that the umo yisraelam, the enemies actually defeated our camps. And if you would not allow them to go back home, if you would restrict them to only being able to go 2,000 amos, they will again be at danger, because maybe those enemies that had not been defeated will continue chasing them. Therefore, we allow them to run all the way back home to their homes, if need be, no issue of the tchum. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Yudom Arav, Nochrim Shetzoru ala Yoris Yisrael. This is another halacha regarding how to respond when some enemies, some non-Jewish, the Gentile enemies, are coming to threaten the cities of Klal Yisrael. If it happens on Shabbos, what are you allowed to do? So Rav Yehuda Marav said that if these goyim come and they besiege one of the cities of Klal Yisrael on Shabbos, ein yotzin alein b'klei zaynin, you're not allowed to go out against them with weapons. Ve'ein mechalin alein es haShabbos. Some say this is an added phrase, others say it's an explanation that you're not allowed to go out with weapons because you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. Some say it means and you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. Either way, you're not allowed to take your weapons out against the enemies. Tanya Namiochi. We learned this also in a Braisa, Nochrim Shetzoru v'chulu, that the same thing, that if the Gentiles are besieging a Jewish city, then you're not allowed to go out with your weapons. In what case is that true? When it's clear to us that the enemies are coming only for, they're looking for money. They're not looking to kill. They're not looking to kill. They're looking just for money. But if they're coming in order to kill, or if there's a threat that they could kill or they would kill people, then yoytzin alein b'kli zaynin, you're allowed to go out with weapons, u'mechalnin alein es haShabbos, and you're allowed to obviously be mechal Shabbos in order to rescue the people. U'be'ir asmucha l'sfar, and in a city that's close to the border, and it's referring here to the borders between the section of the cities that belong to the Yidden, and the cities that belong to the Gentiles, then the city on the border between these two, in that case, afilu lo ibo al iske nefoshes, even if the enemies are not coming to kill, elo al iske tash for kevin, they're just coming for straw and stubble, just for some monetary gains, and not more than that. Nonetheless, yoytzen aleim beklei zaynon, then one is allowed to go out and fight them off with weapons, even on Shabbos. And you can be mechal Shabbos to this effect, and the reason is because that once, if they manage to conquer and defeat the cities on the border, they will now have an easy inroad at a later point, and that could be very dangerous. Omer of Yosef Ramin Yumi, Omer of Nachman, uBavel, Bavel, which means Babylonian, we'll soon see which part of Bavel, Keira Smucha LaSapor Domya. It's compared to a city at the edge of the border, and therefore, if there's a threat, if the Gentiles are coming to fight in what we're going to call Bavel, then you're allowed to go and be Mechal Shabbos, even if it seems that they're coming just for monetary gain. And we explained, what does Bavel mean in this context? Naharadah, it means the place of Naharadah, which was on the border between the cities where the Yidden lived and the cities where the Goyim lived. And we're going to find even proof to this from a pasuk. Darash of Dostoyed min Biri, of Dostoy from a place called Biri, he expounded on the following pasuk. The Maidach Sivit says in the pasuk, Vayagidu le David leimoir, hine plishtim nilchomim b'ki'ilo, v'heima shoysin es hagronois. It was told to David that the plishtim, they are waging war against the place called the Ki'ilia, and they're destroying They're pillaging the threshing floors, which seems that they're just coming for monetary gains. Tana, and we learnt in the Braisa that Ki'ilo, this place Ki'ilo, was Ira Smucha L'Sparhoisa. It was a city that was close to the border. And the Plishtim, they came not to kill, they came just in order to take stubble and straw. Dechsiv, as it says in the Pasuk that we saw, they're pillaging the threshing floors, they're not coming to kill people. And nonetheless, Uchsiv, it says in the Pasuk, David Bashem Lemoir, and David HaMelech asked Hashem as follows, Ha'eleich vehikesi ba'plishtim ha'ele, should I go out and fight with these plishtim? Vayomer Hashem el David, Hashem said to David, Leich vehikiso ba'plishtim, go and fight and hit the plishtim, vehishato es ki'ilo, and you will save ki'ilo. And the question is, Maimi Boile, what was David HaMelech's question to Hashem, to the Urim V'tumim? He was asking the Urim V'tumim, which was a type of a heavenly form of communication, he was asking, what was David HaMelech's question? Ilema, was his question, Ishari, Iosar? Was he asking whether it was permitted or prohibited to go and fight these people on Shabbos, even though they were coming just for straw and stubble? Hare Beis Dinei Shel Shmuel Ramosi Kaim. The Beis Din of Shmuel in Ramos was there. And it was existing. And in the event that you've got halachic shailas, halachic questions, you don't ask the Urim V'tumim, you go and you ask the Beis Din. So what was David HaMelech asking the Urim V'tumim? Elo, imatzlech iloy matzlech. David HaMelech was asking, will I succeed or will I not succeed with fighting the Pelishtim? Daikinami. And this is even alluded to in the Pasuk itself. Tichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Leich vehikiso ba'plishtim, Hashem said, go and smite the plishtim, vehishato es ki'ilo, and you're going to save ki'ilo. Shema mino, from here you see that the question was, will I manage to save them, or will I lose? And that was David HaMelech's question. And from the very fact that you see that David HaMelech was happy to put himself, I don't know if he was happy, but he was prepared to put himself and his army at risk to go and fight off the Plishtim, even though they were coming just for monetary issues, for the straw and the stubble, you see from here that since this place, Ki'ilo, was on the border, David HaMelech understood that it's life and death matter to allow the Gentiles to override and to take any power over the cities in the border, and therefore he went out to fight them off. And that's what we saw in our Gemara, that if on Shabbos a person is at risk, or if on Shabbos if the enemies are coming and they're coming just for money, but they're coming to the cities on the border, that it's considered pikuach nefesh, one's allowed to be mechal Shabbos. Continues the next Mishnah. Mi sheyoshav b'derech. If somebody sat down to rest, he was on a journey, he was tired, he sat down to rest, he happened to have been within 2,000 amos of a city, it was Erev Shabbos, but he was not aware that he was so close to a city, he fell asleep. Va'omad, he stood up, it was after Shabbos had already come in, he woke up, v'ra'a, and he noticed, harei u'samuch le'ir, that he's very close to a city, he's within 2,000 amos of a city. The Tanakama holds, since when Shabbos came in, he did not have any intention of being part of the city and its tchum, and then he would be able to go around the entire city with its tchum and 2,000 amos in any direction of the city. And therefore, lo yikonis, he's not allowed to go into the city more than 2,000 amos where he was at the onset of Shabbos. That means even though where he was resting when he was sleeping when Shabbos came in, then it was within the Tchum, and that should really give him the entire city plus 2,000 amos on each side. The Tanakhama say no, that's not the case. This is Reb Meir. Reb Meir says it's not the case. Since you did not have intentions to be part of the city, therefore you have 2,000 amos from where you were when Shabbos came in, and not more than that. And if the 2,000 amos end in the middle of the city, you're not allowed to go beyond the 2,000 amos. Divi Reb Meir, that was the opinion of Reb Meir. Reb Yehuda argues and says, Yikonis, he's part of the city, he's allowed to go in. Since when Shabbos came in, he was within the tchum of a city, it's as if he was in the city when Shabbos came in, and he has 2,000 amos around the whole city, to walk on Shabbos. Omer Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda said, "My soyo, there was once an incident with Reb Tarfoin. The nichnas Reb Tarfoin b'lei miskavin. Even though Reb Tarfoin, when Shabbos came in, he was not aware of his position. He was not aware that he's so close to the city. He was sleeping. Whatever the case may have been, we'll see soon. Whoever the case may have been, and therefore." The machlokes that we just mentioned would apply, and Rabbi Yehuda says that Reb Tarfoin went into the city and walked around the entire city and bringing proof from Reb Tarfoin to his own opinion that even though he didn't have a conscious awareness and intentions to be koina shvisa, to acquire residence as part of the city, nonetheless, the whole city is his daladamis and like all the other people in the city. And we'll see now in the Gemara whether exactly what happened with Reb Tarfoin and how solid Rabbi Yehuda's proof is. Says the Gemara, Tanya, we learnt in a Braisa, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa b'Reb Tarfoin shoyo mahalich baderech. Reb Tarfoin was traveling on the road. It was before Shabbos. V'chosh chaloi. And whilst he was still traveling, it became dark, it became Shabbos. V'lon chutz le'ir, and he spent the night, he went to rest outside the city. L'shachris, in the morning, Mutza'uhu roye boko. The shepherds found Reb Tarfoin that he was outside the city. Omr loy, the shepherds said to Reb Tarfoin, Rebbe, hare ho'ir lefonecho, hikonis, you're less than 2,000 amis from the city. Reb Tarfoin wasn't aware of that, and now he's being made aware of that now on Shabbos morning. And they said to him, go into the city, you're within the area of the Tchum, you're part of the city. Nichnas v'yoshav v'beis ha-medrash. Reb Tarfoin went into the city. He went and sat in the beis ha-medrash. V'dorash koleim kuloi. And he spent the whole day teaching Torah in this city. So Rabbi Yehuda assumed that this shul this beis ha-medrash that he went to was beyond the 2,000 amos that Reb Tarfoin was when Shabbos came in. And they also assumed that when Shabbos came in, Reb Tarfoin was not aware that he was within 2,000 amis of the Tchum. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah brought proof from this story to his opinion. Omru loy. So the other Chachomim, the other Tanoim, those that agreed with Rabbi Meir, said to Rabbi Yehuda, Mishom Raya, is that your proof that Reb Tarfoin held like you hold? Shema beliboy hoysa. Maybe before Shabbos came in, he was aware how close he was to the city, and therefore he had intentions to acquire residence as part of the city, and then we don't need to resort to this machlokes, because you don't have proof to that from you to your halacha. Or beis hamedrash muvla b'teich tchumei haya. It could also be that even Reb Meir would agree with this, that the beis hamedrash that Reb Yehuda spent, that Reb Tarfoin spent Shabbos, was within 2,000 amos of where he was when Shabbos came in. In which case, again, it's not proof to you, Rabbi Yehuda. So that's what the Chachomim said, that from that incident, you have no proof to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Continues the next Mishnah. Mi sheyoshan baderech. If somebody was traveling along the way and he fell asleep, he was sleeping when Shabbos came in. V'lo yoda shechasheicha. He did not become aware when it was becoming dark, when Shabbos was coming in. And he had no intentions, he didn't have in mind at all to acquire residence in order that he should be able to walk 2,000 amos around where he is when Shabbos came in. Says the Gemara, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, yesh le alpayim amos lekol ruach. Even though when Shabbos came in, he didn't have any consciousness about acquiring residence, nonetheless, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that it's as if he's acquired residence and he has the regular halachas of tchum, he can go 2,000 amos in any direction. The Chachomim argued with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and they said, "Ein lo elo arba amos," that since he did not have any conscious awareness or intention to acquire residence when Shabbos came in, he has no halachas of the tchum. That means the leniencies, the allowance that tchum gives you, 2,000 amis in any direction, is only if you intended to acquire residence with that in mind. But here he was sleeping, and he had no intentions, and therefore all you have is the 4 amis around you. And regarding these 4 amis that apply here to somebody who, according to the Chachomim, he doesn't have the 2,000 amos, and there could be other cases, for example, a person that went out of the Tchum And he now only has Dalet Amois. So other cases that we've learned that a person only has four Amois. There's a little bit of a discussion here exactly how to measure these four Amois. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer Vuhu Be'emtzon. Rabbi Eliezer said you can go two Amois in any direction, which means you have a four, you're in the center of a 4x4 Amos square. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Le'ezet sacha yirtze yelich." He can go in any direction he wants. And we would have thought that means that you can go 8 amas, 4 in any direction, so then you actually have a square of 8x8. But he says that's not accurate. Umoide Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you only have 4x4. However, he says, not like Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you only have 2 on either side of the person. Rather, he says you can choose anywhere, you can choose any square of 4x4, as long as where you are on Shabbos is somewhere within that square. It's either, you can choose either 4 amos in front of you, or behind you, or to the right, or to the left, but not both. If he chose for himself 4 amos in any one direction, either he actually walked in one direction, some say if he had a conscious decision to walk in one direction, he cannot afterwards retract from that and say, I actually want to go another 4 amos in another direction. No, you have one chance to choose where your 4 amos are, and that's where your 4 amos are for the rest of Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, into the Mishnah. Hoyu shnaim. If there were two people, they were both, for whatever reason, they only had 4 amos, they were near each other, and they each had just 4 amos around them for the entire Shabbos. Miktsas amoisov shel zeh betoich amoisov shel zeh. If the 4 amos of Reuven overlapped the 4 amos of Shimon, which, let's for argument's sake, say that there was 2 amos that they both shared, and Reuven had an extra 2 amos to the right, and Shimon had an extra 2 amos to the left. But there's 2 amos that they shared. The halacha is mevi'in oichlin be'emtza. They're allowed to bring their food and put it in the 2 amos space in between, in the overlapped space, in the space that they're both sharing. But ovelvad shelo yoytzi zeh mitoich shelo letoich haveroi. But you have to make sure that you're not allowed to take any food items or any belongings or objects that belonged to you. And as we've seen previously, a person's belongings share the same halachas of tchum as its owners do. And therefore, any utensils, food items belonging to Reuven are not allowed to leave Reuven's 4 amos. And any items belonging to Shimon may not leave Shimon's 4 amos. So you just have to make sure that none of your items, utensils or other, actually leave the 4 amos. As long as you make sure that you don't by mistake take any of your belongings and let them leave the 4 amos. What happens if there are 3 people, Reuven, Shimon and Levi, and they each are stranded outside the tchum? They each have 4 amos to go on Shabbos, not more than that. But Reuven was on the right. He had 2 amos that were uniquely his and another 2 amos that he shared with Shimon. Shimon had the 2 amos on the right that he shared with Reuven, and 2 amos on the left that Reuven could not be part of that because it was outside Reuven's 4 amos. But those 4 amos were the right-hand 4 amos of Levi. And Levi then had another 2 amos beyond that. So what you have now is Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are all next to each other within an 8 amos span, and Reuven has the rightmost 4, Shimon has the middle 4, and Levi has the left-hand 4. So Shimon is actually sharing his 4 amos with both Reuven and Levi. But Reuven and Levi are not sharing any area together. So what's the halacha? Hoyu shloisha v'emtzoi, the middle one, muvla b'neim, is overlapped. Is muvla means absorbed, so to speak, in the rishus of Reuven and Levi. Hu mutar imoen. He is allowed to eat. Shimon is allowed to eat with Reuven in his right hand 2 amos, and he's allowed to eat with Shimon in his left hand 2 amos. V'hein mutarin imoy. And the same, Reuven can eat with Shimon in Reuven's left hand 2 amos, and Shimon can eat with, and Levi can eat with Shimon in Levi's right hand 2 amos. U'shnayim achitzoinim bar Reuven and Levi asurim zeim zeh, then they are, there's no area that they share, that overlap, and therefore they're not allowed to. There's no way that Reuven and Levi can pass things or have anything to do with each other. Omer Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon said, L'moa Dovod Zoyme, this is comparable to another halacha in Hilchas Shabbos. L'sholish chatzeiris apsuchais zulazu. If we're coming back to the halachas of Chotzer, that there's two aspects of Chotzer, and we have to make this clear. If there are a number of different people who are sharing a common chotzer, a courtyard, no one is allowed to carry from their homes to this chotzer until they all join an Eruv Chatzeris. If, however, all the people in this chotzer made an Eruv Chatzeris, and then you have another chotzer next to it with a doorway between the two, then if there's no Eruv, there's no Eruv. Each chotzer is allowed to carry independently from their homes to their chotzer, but not from their homes to the next chotzer. Unless they make an Eruv Chatzeris that actually merges the two chatzeris, providing there's a doorway between them, then they can carry from their homes to even the second chotzer. So here you have a case of three chatzeris, one next to each other. And it's important that we realize that besides for the right-hand chotzer having an entranceway to the middle chotzer, and the middle chotzer also having an entranceway to the left-hand chotzer, it's important that they each have an independent entrance to their chotzer from the Rosh HaRabim, and not that they are dependent on each other's areas to go through. Because if so, then none of them are allowed to carry from their homes to the chotzer unless they make an Eruv between all of them together. But since they have an independent entrances, they're not dependent on walking through each other's chotzer. And therefore, each independent chotzer, there's no issue of carrying from the homes to the chotzer. However, if you want to carry, you want to make an Eruv, so the right-hand chotzer made an Eruv with the middle chotzer. Reuven, the chotzer of Reuven, we'll just call it Reuven, but the chotzer's normally got a few people in it, makes an Eruv with Shimon's chotzer. Shimon makes an Eruv with Levi's chotzer. So the halacha is, upsuches Rosh HaRabim, they each have an independent opening, which means that they don't have to have an Eruv between them just in order to allow them to carry, because they're not trespassing, they're not passing at all in each other's Roshos. And Eruv Ushtayim Imem Toyis, if the right-hand Chotzer and the left-hand Chotzer made independent Eruv with the middle Chotzer, he muteres imoen, then the middle chotzer, he can carry from their homes to their own chotzer, obviously, and to the chotzer on the right, or to the chotzer on the left. Vehe muteres imo, and the people in the right-hand chotzer can carry from their homes into the middle chotzer, and the people in the left-hand chotzer can carry from their homes to the middle chotzer. Ushtayim achitzoinis asurei zu imzu. But to carry something from the homes in the right-hand chotzer into the left-hand chotzer, or vice versa, that's also because them too did not make an Eruv with each other. And that is similar to the case that we had here with three people stranded without a tchum. They each have just four amois, that the same applies as we saw before. Says the Gemara, Boyer Rava. Rava asked the following question. Mai kosova Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. We saw in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that if a person is sleeping when Shabbos came in, nonetheless, it's as if he was Koine Shvitzer, as if he acquired residence, and he has 2,000 amis around him, even though he had he didn't make any decision to acquire residence when Shabbos came in, he was asleep. So Rav is now asking, he's trying to understand Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And before we see the Gemara inside, there are two ways of understanding Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Either there's an old discussion, which we're soon going to see, because we just mentioned before that items, utensils, food that belong to somebody share the same tchum as its owners. And even if Reuven has utensil, then even though Shimon may have had his own tchum that will allow him to travel to 2,000 amas to the left, if Reuven's tchum does not go that far, Shimon is not allowed to take Reuven's items that far. And again, we're just talking here about tchum, we're not talking here about carrying. Obviously, other arrangements have been made regarding allowing the carrying. That's not the issue here. This is just an issue of tchum. So a person's utensils, his items, have the same tchum as its owners. What happens with cheftze hefker? Items that don't belong to anyone. Are they koine shvisa? So normally you have an owner of an item that the intentions, the consciousness of the owner applies to his belongings as well. Here there are no owners. And utensils, food items, they do not have their own minds. So do we say that they are koina or not koina? So it could be that anybody who or anything that doesn't have a human being that's having intentions for it, then so to speak, virtually speaking, it's as if they have their own minds and they are koina shvisa, where they are, where Shabbos came in, they have 2,000 amis from there. Or do we say no? Inanimate objects are not koina shvisa. If they belong to people, the people are koina shvisa for them, and if not, they're not. Over here, it's different, because over here we're not talking about an object, we're talking about a person. The person happens to be sleeping. But it could be, since had he been awake, he would have had intentions of being koina shvisa, even though he's sleeping, it's okay, and he's koina shvisa. So that's what the Rav is now trying to understand. Is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holding that even without das, that means even inanimate objects are also koina shvisa, and therefore a sleeping person is no different? Or no? Is his halacha unique to a sleeping person, but regarding chafetze hefker, objects that are hefker, he would not say the same halacha. Let's see that inside. My kasovar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. What does Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri hold? Mizber kasovar, does he hold chafetze hefker koinim shvisa, that ownerless objects, they acquire residence when Shabbos came in, even though they're just objects, they don't have any minds, nonetheless, wherever they are when Shabbos comes in, it's as if they acquired residence there, and then anyone who's going to move them on Shabbos is not allowed to move them out of the 2,000 amis where they were when Shabbos came in. Ubedinhu, and if so, that technically speaking, it would have been appropriate, the lifleg bekelim, the same machlekas we have in our Mishnah regarding a sleeping person, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says he gets 2,000 amis, and the Chachomim say no, for the same token he could have been arguing about cheftze hefker, ownerless objects, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says they are koine shvisa, and the Chachomim say no. And v'hod, k'miflegi be'odom, the only reason the Mishnah brings their argument regarding a sleeping person, lo'idiach o'koichon d'rabonon, is to explain to us, to bring to our attention the extent of the opinion of the Chachomim, that even though, the afal gavd ikele meimar, even though we could have said that hoyel v'nir kono, yoshon nami kono, that we would have thought that even though the Chachomim hold that ownerless objects are not koina shvisa, but human beings, even if they're sleeping, since had he been awake, he would have had intentions of acquiring residence, even if he's asleep, he acquires residence and has 2,000 amis. Komash Malon, the Mishnah wants to teach us that according to the Chachomim, even a person, if he's sleeping, he has the same halachas as cheftze hefker, and they are not koina shvisa for 2,000 amis, they only have 4 amis. So is that how we're going to learn Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Oy Dilma, or maybe. Kosova Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds Ba'alma regarding other cases where there's a lack of intentions, for example, ownerless objects, cheftze hefker, in koinin shvisa. You didn't have intentions to be koinin shvisa, and therefore that you don't have 2,000 amis. And here in our Mishnah, v'hocha hainu tama, the only reason Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says in our Mishnah that he gets 2,000 amis is hoyel v'nir kono, yoshon nami kono, since he's a person. And a person, when he's awake, he can have consciousness and awareness to want to acquire residence, so to any sleeping, we give him 2,000 amis as if he intended to acquire residence. But an inanimate object, chafetzim of hefka, ownerless objects, they, even according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, they do not have 2,000 amis. That was Rava's question. How are we supposed to understand Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's opinion? Omer of Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef said as follows. Toshma, let's bring proof. There's a braisa that says as follows. Geshomim sheyorodu me'erev yontev. Rain that fell before yontev set on. Erev yontev. Yesh len alpayim amal kol ruach. Since they reached the ground when yontev came in, then they acquire residence where they were, where they landed on the floor before yontev came in. And as yontev comes in, they have that is their residence, and they have 2,000 amis on any side. B'yomtev, if the rain came down on Yomtev, which means that before Yomtev or as Yomtev came in, they were not here, they were not on the ground, they were not koina shvisa at all. Harein karagli kol adam, it's as if they were not koina shvisa. And then anybody that takes the water, it's the rain is halachas of the rain, the status of the rain is going to be according to the person that takes it. If this person has 4,000 amas to the right of the water, he can take it there. If the person has 4,000 amas to the left, he can take it there. Wherever the person who's actually drawing this water on Yom Tov, his tchum, the rain is going to follow the tchum of that person. And they do not have their own shvisa. So that's what it says in the Braisa. So Rav Yosef says, because we have to realize this rain is like Heftze Hefker, it's ownerless. There's no human being that had any intentions as to where this rain is going to have residence on Shabbos. There's no owners. So this Geshomim is considered Heftze Hefker. And now we saw at the beginning of this Braisa that if they fell before Shabbos, they have 2,000 amas around them. So Rav Yosef is saying, if you say Rav Yochanan ben Nuri holds that Heftze Hefker Koina Shvisa, that ownerless objects are Koina Shvisa, then I can understand how money. Then this price says, is following Rav Yochanan ben Nuri that says that the rain, since it was there before Yom Tov came in, we're talking about the beginning of the price, so the rain fell before Yom Tov, and therefore he gets 2,000 amis, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said. If you say that everybody, the Chachomim and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, hold that objects of Hefka, ownerless objects, are not Koina Shvisa, and they do not have 2,000 amis, and the only reason Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says in our Mishnah that you have 2,000 amis is because we're not talking about objects, we're talking about a human being who happens to be sleeping. But if it's an object that's ownerless, even he agrees to the Chachomim, you do not have 2,000 amis, then how many? Loi Rabbi Yochanan, v'loi Rabbanon. Then this Braisa is not following any opinion that we know. So that's what Rav Yosef's proof was when he answered to Rava. Rava asked, does Rav Yochanan ben Nuri hold that Heftze Hefka or Koina Shvisa? It must be that yes, because otherwise the Braisa about with the rain is not following anyone. Yosef Abayo Ka'omal al Hoshmaita. Abayo was sitting and he repeated what the reproof Rav Yosef brought to his Chavirim. Omale Rav Safra. Rav Safra heard Abaya and said to Abaya as follows, I will refute your proof, Rav Yosef's proof. V'dilma b'geshomim asmuchim le'ir oskinon. Maybe since this is rain that fell before Yom Tov, and it was in close proximity of a city, v'anshe oisair, and the people in that city, daito malayu, they had intentions of drawing and taking this water on Yom Tov, and therefore they intended this water to be koina shvisa. So in that place, so it's not considered an entirely ownerless object, it's so to speak, it's an object that has people that intended using them on Yom Tov, and therefore their intentions apply to the rain. And only therefore the Braisa says that the rain has 2,000 amis, providing it fell before Yom Tov. But in a case where there was nobody who had any intentions, it could be that Heftze Hefka are not Koina Shvisa. Says Omar Le, Abaya answered back to Rav Safra and he tried to back up Rabbi Yosef's proof and told Rav Safra, no. Lo yisal kadaitoch, that's not the way to learn this braisa. Ditnan, we learned in a Mishnah. Boir shel yochid, karagle yochid. A pit, a well of water that belongs to an individual, a private person. Karagle yochid, then the water in that pit, in that well, has the same tchum as its owner. So if somebody's walking past the well and drawing some water, then let's say he has permission to do so, and let's say one's allowed to carry. But regarding tchum, you're not allowed to take this water outside the tchum of the owner that this well belongs to. That's the first halacha. The second halacha, v'shel oiso ha'ir, if the well belongs to the people in the city, belongs to all the people, karagle oisair, then the tchum of this well has the same status as the tchum of the city, that you can take it in the city, and 2,000 amis beyond the city. Vashel oile bovel, what happens if these wells actually didn't belong to anybody? They were ownerless, and they were there just in order, in the public area, in order to allow the people who are coming from Bovel to Eretz Yisrael, that they should have what to drink. So we refer to them as ownerless wells, ownerless water, and the halacha is karagle hamemale, that the tchum of the water is dependent on the tchum of the person that is filling them up. Since its hefka. And therefore they had, the water had no intentions, and no human being had intentions with this water. Therefore it was not koin ha-shvisa. So the halacha is that if it's not koin ha-shvisa, then it's dependent on the person that's drawing the water. He can take it to wherever his own tchum goes. V'tanya, in another braisa, this is all Abaye speaking still to Rav Safra. Abaye says, in another braisa, we saw an halacha that seems to contradict this braisa. Boir shel shvatim, a well that was prepared for all the tribes, for all those of coming up to Eretz Yisrael for Oile Regel, and this is exactly the same as the Oile Bovel that we mentioned before. It's considered wells that don't belong to anyone, they're ownerless. And here it says, Yeshlem alpayim amo lekol ruach, that you can take the water 2,000 amos in any direction from the well, not more. So there seems to be kashina adodi. These two braises are a contradiction. Is this ownerless water in the well? Do we say that they are koina shvisa where they were when Shabbos came in and have 2,000 amos? Or do we say that they are going to be dependent on the person that's drawing the water? So says Abaye, Elolav Shema Mino, it must be that we have a machlekas here between the braises where the cheftze hefker are koina shvisa. Ha, Rabbi Yechonon ben Nuri, the braise that says you have 2,000 amois must be Rabbi Yechonon ben Nuri. And ha, Rabbonon, and the other braise that says that the water itself was not koina shvisa must be the chachomim who say that cheftze hefker are not koina shvisa. So we see clearly that there must be an opinion of Rabbi Yechonon ben Nuri who holds that Cheftze Hefker are not Koina Shvisa. And therefore, Rav Yosef was correct to bringing proof to what he understood, that Rav Yochanan ben Nuri must hold that Cheftze Hefker are Koina Shvisa. Continues the Gemara, Ki also lekamedu Rav Yosef, when Abaye came to Rav Yosef, Omer lehi told him everything that had transpired. Hochik Omer of Safra, that Rav Safra tried to refute Rav Yosef's proof from the rain that there's an opinion that Cheftze Hefker are Koina Shvisa, and Vahochi Ahadre lehi, and Abaye answered and said, I brought him proof elsewhere, there must be an opinion that holds Cheftze Hefker are Koina. Omer lehi, Rav Yosef then responded to Abaye, Vamai lo itayma lehi migufa, why didn't you disprove what Rav Safra had said from the braisa itself? We're talking about the braisa with the rain. And it says there that if the rain fell before Yom Tov, you get 2,000 amis around it. What did Rav Safra want to say? That it's not called Cheftze Hefker because the people in the city, they had their minds on this water, and therefore it's not called Cheftze Hefker. Says Abaya, says Rav Yosef to Abaya, in the event that Rav Safra would have been right, that the reason that the rain has 2,000 amos is not because Cheftze Hefker Koinu, but because of the people in the city, it's not true that you get 2,000 amos around where the rain fell. You get 2,000 amos around the city like the city's people. Because according to Rav Safra, the rain is Koinu Shvisa only because the people in the city had in mind to use that water. And that's not what it says. It says in the braisa that the rain has 2,000 amos around where it fell. V'amai lo teimalei migufa, why didn't you prove it from the braisa itself? Isol kadaitoch, if you Rav Safra would be right, that geshomim asmuchim l'ir oskinon, that the braisa is referring to the rain that's near the city. And the only reason that it's koina shvisa is because of the intentions of the townspeople. Hai, yeshlem alpaim amalachol ruach, is it true that it has 2,000 amis in any direction from where it fell? He only has 2,000 amis, or not only, he has 2,000 amis like the people in the city. Now, it could be that the 2,000 amis is the same 2,000 amis, because the rain is near the city, and therefore it doesn't really matter if you use the terminology of 2,000 amis around where it fell, or 2,000 amis like the people in the city. But either way, the terminology used should certainly not have been that it gets 2,000 amis around where it fell. The correct term should have been, since it's based on the townspeople and their intentions, the correct term should have been Kiragle Anshei Seir, the same tchum as the people in the town. It's not what it says. So it's clear that the reason that there's 2,000 amis is not because of the intentions of the city, rather because Cheftze Hefker or Koina, like Rav Yosef brought proof from here, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that Cheftze Hefker or Koina. Continues the Gemara. Omar Mar. We're now going to elaborate on the second part of that braisa with the rain. The first part of the braisa said that if the rain fell before Yom Tov, then it has 2,000 amos around them. And as we saw, it's either because Chefze Hefker Okoina or because the townspeople had their intentions on it. What was the second halacha in the braisa? That if the rain fell on Yom Tov, then since when Yom Tov came in, they were not on the ground, they could not be Koina Shvisa, nobody could be Koina Shvisa for them. Therefore, they do not have their own residence, and anybody who draws the water, who collects the water, can take the water based on his own limitations of his own tchum. Omer Mar, b'yomtov, if the rain fell on yomtov, harehin karagle kol odom, they're treated like the tchum of anybody who actually first acquires this rain. The first person who lifts up or takes this rain, that person's tchum becomes the tchum of this water. And even if he's afterwards going to give it to another person, then the tchum is not going to change. If Reuven on Shabbos afternoon drew this water, collected this water first, this water is now bound to the tchum of Reuven. If Reuven then gives it to Shimon, Shimon's not allowed to take it outside Reuven's tchum. Says the Gemara, Va'amai, why do we say that this water was not Koina Shvisa when Shabbos came in, and therefore the person who draws the water first, he's the one that's going to determine where the boundaries of the tchum for this water is. Likne shvisa bo'kainis. Why do we say that the water was not koine shvisa? Because it was not on the ground when Shabbos came in. Well, where was it when Shabbos came in? It was in the ocean. We know that rain comes from the ocean. The water evaporates and then rains. So when Shabbos came in, the water was in the ocean. Why don't we say that the water was koine shvisa in the ocean when Yom Tov came in? So should we say that this braisa is not following Rabbi Eliezer? De'ik Rabbi Eliezer, if it does hold the Rabbi Eliezer, Ha'omar, Rabbi Eliezer said, Kol ha'olam kuloi mimeo kainos u'shoisa. All the waters in the world, anything that anyone drinks in the world, all rainwater is coming from the ocean, that it evaporates and then it rains. And if so, if all the water that rains first or initially came from the ocean, from the Ukainius, then to say that when Shabbos came in, the water was Koina Shvisa in the ocean. And therefore, the rain that is now raining on Shabbos is outside its own tchum. It's more than 2,000 amos away from the ocean. And something that goes outside the tchum is not allowed to go beyond 4 amos. Says the Gemara, Omer B'Yitzchok, Hocha ba'ovim sheniskashru me'erev Yom Tov askinon. You're right. In the event that we knew that this rain was actually in the ocean when Shabbos came in, you're right. But here, it was very cloudy when Shabbos came in, and we see the rain coming down after that, so we know that this rain that's now landing on Shabbos was not in the ocean when Shabbos came in, it was in some cloud. And therefore, it was not Koina Shvisa. Asks the Gemara, V'dilma hanoch ozli, maybe the clouds that you saw, they went away, they moved away, and maybe the clouds that are actually raining now is different clouds, and the rain coming from these clouds are actually from water that when Shabbos came in was in the ocean. Says the Gemara, no. Diisli simne bagavayu. I can know from the formation of these clouds, it's clear to me that these are the same clouds that were there when Shabbos came in, they are the ones that are raining down now. V'boy seima. Or you could say, even if we're not 100% sure whether these clouds are the same clouds, have a suffix, the divrim. So there's a doubt. There's a doubt whether this rain was in the ocean when Shabbos came in, or was it in a cloud when Shabbos came in. And the suffix, the divrim, lahokil. Since we're discussing a rabbinic halacha, and therefore we can be makel, we can be lenient. That's always the rule, suffix, the divrim, lahokil. And therefore, when it rains down, we are allowed to assume that it was not the rain that was in the ocean when Shabbos came in. We're allowed to assume that it was already in the sky, in the clouds, and therefore it was not Koina Shvisa. And therefore, when it rains down, the first person that takes the water is the one that sets the boundaries of the tchum of this water. Asks the Gemara, V'likna Shvisa ba'ovim. Okay, so it wasn't in the ocean. So this water was in the clouds. Why don't you say it was Koina Shvisa in the clouds? So Tifshut Minei, are we going to conclude from here the ein tchumin lemaylo me'asara, that this braisa holds that there's no concept of tchum above 10 tfachim, which is where the clouds are? De'iyesh tchumin, if we were to hold that there is tchumin above 10 tfachim, likne shvisa ba'ovim, then we should say that these clouds, they were koine shvisa, that the water in the clouds was koine shvisa in the clouds above 10 tfachim. And if they are koine shvisa, there's no reason to say that the person that first collects this water should be the one to determine the tchum of these of the water. Says the Gemara, no. La'olam ein melacha yesh tchumin. It could be that there is tchumin, even above 10 tfachim. However, we hear the rain in the clouds is not koine shvisa, even if you were to say there is tchumin. Why? Umaya be'eva mivlabli. However, the water is absorbed in the clouds. It's not yet, we don't yet consider the water as being in existence. And therefore, even though if the water were to be in existence, it would be koina shvisa in the clouds. However, since at this point it's in a vapor form, it's not in a rain form, in a water form, and therefore it's not there. If it's not in existence yet, it cannot be koina shvisa. It first comes to existence in a liquid form of rain only when it rains. Says the Gemara, if so, yachi, kolshkein, if so, kolshkein dehavalu noila da'asiri. If the water was not yet existing when Shabbos came in, then not only, then you're right that it's not going to be koina shvisa, but then it's going to be osa at all. It's going to be muktza, because we know there's an issa d'rabbanon of noilad, that anything that was not existing when Shabbos came in, and it came into existence when on Shabbos, it was born on Shabbos, it's muktza. You're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. So this rain that was not in a water form when Shabbos came in, and it became water after Shabbos set in, it's noilad, it's muktza. And if so, how can you let this person draw water, and even more so to give him 2,000 amis to carry the water? It should be noilad and asa. Ella says the Gemara, no. It could be that it's not considered noilad, and we do see the water vapors being water. And it's not, let's assume that there's no issue of noilad. However, there's another reason that these water in the clouds, even if you were to hold that there is tchumin above 10 tvachim, but the water in the clouds is not going to be koina shvisa. Why? Because maya ba'ovin meinad naidi. Clouds are constantly moving. In order to acquire residence, you have to be still. You have to be positioned someplace and say, or at least be, here I am for the duration of Shabbos, this is my base. But if you're constantly in transit, you're not koina shvisa, you're not acquiring any residence. And since the clouds are constantly moving, the water in the clouds are not koina shvisa, and therefore, when it rains down, it's not koina shvisa on Yom Tov, and the first person who's going to draw the water is going to determine the boundaries of the tchum of this water. Says the Gemara, hashta da'osis lahochi, if you've come to this understanding that something that's moving cannot be koina shvisa, ukainus nami loy likshilach, it could even be that if there were no clouds, and what rained on Shabbos may have been in the Ukainus, might have been in the ocean when Shabbos came in. And nonetheless, it will not be koina shvisa. Why? Because the maya ba'ukainus nami meinad naidi, the water in the oceans is also moving all the time. And since the water is moving all the time, therefore it's not koina shvisa. When it evaporates, it's again moving, it's again not koina shvisa. And when it rains down, its first time it actually sets and lands someplace is on Shabbos. Since when Shabbos came in, it was not koina shvisa, now it has no tchum. The person who takes it is going to determine its tchum, as we saw in the Mishnah. V'tanya, we saw in the Braisa, Nahoris hamoishchin, flowing streams, umayonis hanoivin, and gushing springs, harehin karagleib kol odom, then they have the tchum, it's as if they have the tchum of any people, since which means that any person that's going to collect this water is going to be the one to determine the tchum, because when Shabbos came in, these streams and springs were flowing, they were not koina shvisa, and like we just said now, anything that's moving is not koina shvisa. In the next shiur, we're going to continue from here.